Welcome to the Informed Traveler Radio Show. I'm your host, Randy Sharman, and we start this week's show chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to review some of the travel news headlines and get her travel tip of the week. Last week, though, Onanta was in Croatia, but she's back home now, and she joins us to share her last few days in Croatia and to tell us how the journey was coming home. You can follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Onanta Forbes. That's where you'll see a lot of the images and photos from Croatia. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Hi, Onanta.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Are you glad to be back from your adventures in Croatia?
It was an amazing adventure, and I loved every minute of it. I have to say, though, it's always nice to come home and sleep in your own bed.
That's what everybody says. If you just take your bed with you, and then... Anyways, last week we chatted, you were actually in Croatia, and there was a couple days left on your tour. So let's pick up where you left off and finish up your last few days of your adventures in Croatia.
So we stayed in Zagreb for our last two nights. It's the capital of Croatia. It's quite breathtaking with its like 18th and 19th century architecture. And the city is just made for strolling around. It has a huge, well, Croatia in general has a huge coffee culture. So there's lots of coffee bars and museums and galleries. Very like cultural and stuff. It has theaters and concerts and cinema. And summer is the time when the residents of the city leave Zagreb, so we didn't have to contend much with crowds, and it was almost empty. One of the sites that you'll must see, and we went to see, is the Church of St. Mark. It's 13th century, and it's got these great colorful tiles on their roof, and they have the coat of arms of Croatia, Dalmatia, and Slavonia. It's, as I said, the city is known for its museum, and it's a perfect place to soak up the Croatian culture. We actually stayed at the Esplanade in Zagreb, which is one of the most famous buildings in Zagreb. It was built in 1925 to accommodate the passengers of the Orient Express train on their route from Venice to Istanbul. The train station is still right behind the hotel. And from there, we were able to walk to key attractions. The city is really lovely as far as it's laid out with parks and woodland. And the main areas of interest are Upper Town, where you're going to find the art galleries, Parliament Building, and Cathedral. And in Lower Town, you'll find the museums, open-air markets, the Croatian National Theater, and lots of trendy boutiques if you're a shopper like me. Mm-hmm. One of our excursions was outside the city in the Croatian Highland regions. We went to a 13th century castle. It was like a fairy tale castle. It was about like an hour from Zagreb. But what struck me was nobody was there. It was almost like nobody knew about it. And this castle is so well maintained. It has the original like furniture from throughout the time that this noble family stayed there. So it's always good to kind of go outside the path of everybody else is going, and you can really find treasures such as this.
Mm-hmm. Is it easy to get around Zagreb? You mentioned it's a big city, but depending on where you're staying, I guess you can probably walk to a lot of the sites and museums and things you want to see.
Yeah, you bet you can. It's the biggest city in Croatia, and they are the only city in Croatia that has trams that take you throughout downtown and within the city. So you can definitely hop on a tram or get a taxi. We walk, though. We like to walk, mm-hmm. and it was easy to walk.
Nice.
Yeah, really easy.
Now, would that be a good starting point or even a base if you wanted to tour around the rest of Croatia, like kind of what you did, spend a couple days here, a couple days there? What are some of the things that you would suggest people to do or know if they're planning a trip to Croatia?
Well, first of all, you can either start or end in Croatia, in Zagreb, within the country. It's very interesting to start in the city and then head to the coast or vice versa. I would suggest that you kind of make it different cities and places to stay a couple to three nights at a time. You don't want to backtrack. It is a small country, but they it still takes a while to get from place to place by driving. Because they have windy roads. And actually, just a fun fact, when we were there, they opened up this bridge that actually allowed travelers not to have to go through Bosnia-Herzegovina, which would add on 20 minutes to your trip. Plus, you have to show your passports and queue up for to go through tolls as well as through the border crossing. So that will definitely help passengers or clients travel from north to south with little less time. It's fun to go to the islands, but you don't want to backtrack back and forth. And I think it's nice to either end up in Dubrovnik or Zagreb, like I said. And Dubrovnik's just such a beautiful city.
And most of your tours, they were escorted tours, which I think if you've never been to a country like Croatia, it's probably a good way to go, right?
Oh, yeah. I really like hearing the history and the background of the country and kind of getting a feel of the country, because definitely you can, you know, take a guidebook. But when somebody lives there, they know, they kind of gauge what your interests are and they'll cater to it and as far as your preferences and such. So I would recommend to, you know, work with your travel professional, because they are in contact with people that are right at the destination and can give really good advice and informed ideas of what to do.
And now getting home, you flew from Zagreb to Frankfurt, I believe. Is that how you got home? And then from Frankfurt back to Canada?
Right. So we did exactly that. So we flew with Croatian Airlines from Zagreb to Frankfurt. Pretty seamless. They check your ArriveCan to make sure that you filled it out before we left ArriveCan. And then we got into Frankfurt. We had ample connection time. So we had up to 3 hours before we caught our flight to Frankfurt, and or from Frankfurt to Calgary. And then our no problems with getting from one gate to another. And also, very good news, our luggage came back with us.
Well, that's good news, too. There's been lots of stories about the ArriveCan app. You mentioned that. Any issues or anything like that with Canada Border Services or anything like that?
No, it was pretty straightforward. You can complete your ArriveCan within 72 hours of departure from your destination. We found it a really straightforward process. If you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to upload your proof of COVID booster vaccine. And then they'll ask you to enter like a document, an official travel document for ID, like your passport, birth certificate, or Nexus card. And then when you successfully complete your ArriveCan submission, you're going to get a receipt with a six-character receipt code. And that's proof that you've successfully completed your submission. And keep in mind that you could be randomly selected on the Border Testing Surveillance Program on arrival in Canada. So this is my tip for this week, is have your phone on, because within 15 minutes of completing customs declaration, those who are chosen for the random testing will receive an email notification, and that email will contain information to help arrange for your COVID test with the testing provider in our region. And then also that happened to my partner, but he didn't have his phone on. So he got home and he realized he had to go get the test, and it was set up through Switch Health. So he had to call Switch Health. The Switch Health person said you can either go back to the airport or you can do it with a pharmacy, but you have to have access to a camera so that they can see how you're doing the or conducting the test. And then they give you the test, and they package it up in a Purolator envelope, and we have to drop it off at Purolator.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
so my other tip is keep your phone open too when you're traveling, because airlines are now telling you when there's gate changes, when there's delays. via text or via email. You do have to be very aware, especially in today's environment, that changes could occur.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Did you have to wear a mask, by the way, on the plane, on the flight for, in Europe?
Yes, we did. We had to definitely wear it from Calgary to Frankfurt and back again. In Frankfurt, you didn't have to wear it as you were transiting the airport. You could if you wanted to, but it wasn't mandatory. And you did have to wear masks on the flights between Germany and Croatia and vice versa. Again, in Croatia, it was mandatory to wear your mask at the airport.
Got it. Well, it sounds like a fabulous trip. I want to go to Croatia now. You can follow all the photos and stories with Onanda Forbes on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or you can check out her website, onandaforbes.com. Welcome home, Onanda. We'll chat with you next week.
Take care.